Welcome to the Sleep Fairy Way podcast. I'm your host, Jesselyn Romney, a baby sleep consultant and a mother of four. I'm here to teach you everything I know about baby sleep, motherhood, postpartum, and more. I'm so happy you're here. Hey friends, welcome to the podcast today. Today we're going to talk about dads, and more specifically, we're going to talk about how dads can help. Now, luckily, I feel like as a society, we are moving in the right direction where we now understand that dads are just as capable, if not more capable, in my opinion, when I'm talking about my husband, just as capable of taking care of children and doing household chores as moms. And moms do not have to carry all of the weight. They do not have to carry the mental load, the physical load, and everything else while dad just goes to work and then comes home and just has everything taken care of for him. That's just, it doesn't have to be that way. If it is that way and you're cool with that and that is the way that works for your family, great. Like, this is not a knock on that, and that's fine if that's working for you. However, I want you to know that if you feel this resistance, or if you're feeling frustrated, like, oh, I don't want to do this alone and I don't know how my husband can help. He wants to help, but I don't know how he can help. Or you're feeling pressure, like you have to be the one to do it all because people around you or the way you grew up or whatever made you feel like you have to be the one to do everything and your husband shouldn't lift a finger. I want you to know that it doesn't have to be that way. And there is a better way, in my opinion, to work together as a team. I believe marriage is teamwork. I believe it is a partnership. I believe parenthood takes teamwork. And so today I'm just going to give you a few ways that my husband helps, especially when we have a newborn baby and things are crazy and we're tired and all the things are happening, so that you have an idea of what your partner can do to help you. Because again, sometimes you're so tired, you're like, I just need help, but I don't even know what I need help with or how you can help. I just know I need it. So hopefully today I can give you a few ideas. You can listen to this with your partner so that he can have some ideas as well. And hopefully it can make the newborn stage a lot more enjoyable for both of you. I actually did a podcast episode with my husband way back when I just started the podcast. I want to say it's like episode 5 or something like that. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But you can also go listen to that one where he talks about ways that he wanted to help from his perspective. But anyways, okay, so let's just jump right in. One of the best ways, in my opinion, that dads can help if you have more than one kid is by being in charge of the other kids. I always say the hardest part of having a newborn is having a toddler, because the newborn part, you can just snuggle your baby all day, right? Like when you have your first baby, you snuggle your baby and then you both sleep, and then you feed your baby and then you both sleep, and it's just the two of you. So it's a little bit easier for dads to jump in and help when there's just one baby and there's two of you. You're not outnumbered. Nobody else needs you except for this little baby, right? But if you have your second child or your third child or your fourth child or however many kids you have, it is so much harder to meet the other kids' needs while you are taking care of a newborn. So we kind of decided early on, actually my husband just decided early on, which was so amazing, that when we have a baby, he will be in charge of the other kids. He takes them to the park, he gets them food, he gets them dressed, he runs them to any activities they need to be at. He literally just completely takes over the other kids' needs so that I can focus on the baby. And that doesn't mean that I'm not involved with my other kids. Like, they will come in, they will want to snuggle the baby, they'll want to sit by me and everything like that. But if a toddler comes running up to me and is like, Mom, I need a snack, or they need their diaper changed or something like that, it's all him, so that I can just focus on the baby and not worrying about my other kids getting their needs met or getting enough attention. Because that was one of the hardest things for me about having my second baby. I was so worried. It was just her and I for so long. She was almost 4 when I had my second, because we went through secondary infertility and the gap was a little bigger than we had planned. But my biggest fear is that because it was just the two of us for so long, adding somebody into the mix, I was afraid that she was going to feel forgotten. I was afraid that she was going to feel like left out. And I was just afraid that I wasn't going to have enough of me to give to both of my kids. Now, if you've been around a while, you know that I say over and over again the words that my father-in-law said to my sister-in-law that now has circled around the family, that your love does not divide, it multiplies. And I stand by that. That is so true. your heart just grows like the Grinch. Your heart will just grow 4 sizes bigger, and it's amazing. But there's only so much attention that you can give to somebody at one time when you are in the middle of nursing a baby, when you are in the middle of changing a newborn's diaper. There's not enough attention to go around sometimes. And so making sure that there is somebody there to make your toddler feel seen and loved while you were taking care of your newborn was life-changing for me for all of the transitions we had from going from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, and 3 to 4. So the first way dads can help is be in charge of the other kids if you have more than one when you have a newborn. The second way dads can help is be in charge of the things that need to be done around the house. I remember with my fourth, I was in such deep postpartum depression, it didn't even cross my mind that laundry needed to be done. I'm not a minimalist, but I say that word lightly, but I'm kind of a minimalist when it comes to clothes. Like my kids, I just buy them like 7 pairs of pants, 7 shirts, 7 pairs of socks. Like I just buy them enough clothes for a week so that we can do the laundry and then they can wear the things the next week. I don't like to have an excessive amount of clothes that they're just going to outgrow in 2 months. So because of that, we do laundry once a week. So when I was in postpartum depression, it did not cross my mind that laundry needed to be done. It did not cross my mind that I needed to buy groceries because I wasn't very hungry. I was so tired and I completely forgot that we needed food. Like all of these things that are kind of a normal part of my routine just weren't even kind of on my mind. So my husband didn't even ask. He just noticed like, oh, looks like the laundry needs to be done. And he just started doing the laundry. Oh, looks like we're running low on snacks. I'll run to the grocery store. Oh, everybody needs to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Cool, I'll just make some food for everybody. Oh, there's dishes in the sink. Let me put them in the dishwasher. And then he would start it. Oh, the dishwasher's clean. Let me empty the dishwasher. Like just these little everyday things that you don't think about too much, they just kind of slip away when you are in the newborn phase. And if you are the dad and your wife is normally in charge of this, then pay attention to that. Pay attention to these things that need to be done, but she doesn't have the time or the energy or the mental capacity to do these things, and just step in and do it. Now, hopefully in normal everyday life, you're helping with those things anyways. I feel like my husband does laundry more than I do, especially when it comes to our laundry. He does the dishes and starts the dishwasher every night. I can't tell you the last time I started the dishwasher. Like these are things that he helps with anyways, and these are things that you can help with anyways. However, if you're at work all day and she's at home with kids, a lot of times these things, she just does them automatically without really thinking about it. But with a newborn, chances are she's not going to notice it, or she just doesn't have the energy to do it. So just step in and do the household chores. If you don't know what to do or where to start, ask, hey, what can I help with? What are the things that need to get done? And just jump in and do it. That is a huge help knowing that your kids have clean clothes, that there's food in the pantry for you and your partner and your children, knowing that there's clean spoons in the drawer. Like all of these little things will take a huge mental load off of her while she's taking care of a newborn. Okay, the third thing that dads can do while you're taking care of everybody else, make sure that you're taking care of her. Make sure that she is drinking enough water. Make sure that she is eating enough. Sometimes, like postpartum for me, I'm just not that hungry because of my postpartum depression. Postpartum depression takes away my appetite, but it's important to be eating enough and drinking enough for my body to heal, for my body to produce milk if I'm breastfeeding, and just to stay healthy. So my husband would always like bring me my water or refill my water or bring me a snack, make me some lunch. Just do these little things to make sure that she is being taken care of. Okay, and this is my last tip, but it is my favorite tip because it has saved every single one of our experiences with a newborn because it makes sure that we are both getting enough sleep until we can start sleep training at 4 weeks. So for those first 4 weeks, you are so tired. And I always say week 3 is the worst because your adrenaline's worn off, the sleep deprivation sinks in, and it just feels like you don't know what day it is. You don't know what time it is. You have no idea what's going on. It's shocking that the world around you is continuing while you're in this little bubble of like feed the baby, change the baby, get the baby to sleep, and then just repeating that cycle all day and all night. It's like such a crazy time of life, right? It's so magical and it's so beautiful, but it's so, so, so exhausting. And so my husband and I take shifts to make sure that we are both getting at least a 5 to 6 hour stretch every single night so that we can sort of function until we can start sleep training. And I'll tell you what that looks like. And yes, I have done this with breastfeeding, and I have done this with bottle feeding, but I want you to know that I'm totally okay with bottle feeding. I have pumped and given my husband the bottle. I have done formula, and then I have also breastfed. But if you have a newborn, or if you are going to have a newborn, it's important to understand that night feedings can take at least an hour. It's usually just not like a quick feed and go back to sleep. If your baby is right next to you in your bed and you can just latch them, they drink and go right back to sleep, great. Then if you want to do that and you're all sleeping, that's fine. But for me, two of my babies had terrible acid reflux. So it was a whole process of like feed them an ounce and then sit them up and burp them, and then feed them another ounce and then sit them up and burp them. And we would do that for the entire feeding. So it would take at least 45 minutes. And then I had to keep them sitting up, making sure I got all the burps out so they didn't spit up. And then by then they would poop. So then I would change their diaper, and then they would have a blowout while I was trying to change their diaper. So then I would have to change their clothes, and then it got on the blanket. So I had to go find a new swaddle. Like, it was always a process for every single feed in the night. So it's not just a 10, 15 minute quick feed and go back to sleep. At least it wasn't for me. Again, if it is for you, great. I'm so happy for you, and know that that is pretty rare. But if you are up at least an hour per feeding in the night, taking shifts is so important, and it can happen even if you are breastfeeding. Like I said, you can feed your baby and then hand your baby off to your husband and go back to sleep. And then your husband can do the burping, the changing, the re-swaddling, the getting the baby back to sleep part. So really, even though you're both awake for a short period of time, you are able to go back to sleep while he finishes up all the other things that come with the night feed. So this is what we do. This is what has always worked for us. We take shifts every other feed. So for example, I do the 7 p.m. feed and then I go to bed. I'm so tired. It is so easy for me to fall asleep at any point in time. So I'm usually in bed by 8 o'clock. A little earlier if I'm lucky, but the latest 8 o'clock. Then I go to bed, hand my baby off to my husband. My husband stays up with the baby, then he does the 10 p.m. feed, burp, change, get the baby to bed, and then he's in bed before 11. Then I wake up at 1 a.m., I do the 1 a.m. feed, then I go back to bed, he does the 4 a.m. feed and goes to bed, and then I do the 7 a.m. feed while he sleeps in. And then on the weekends, we each take a full night. So I say, okay, I have all the feeds tonight. I'll actually just sleep on the couch with the bassinet next to me. You sleep all night. And then tomorrow night, we'll switch places. So you do all the feeds and I sleep. Again, if you are breastfeeding, you'll have to get up for a little bit. Or if you are pumping, or if you're okay with a bottle, you can pump before bed. You might wake up engorged, but it's one night during the whole week. It's totally, totally worth the extra sleep. And it won't ruin your supply because, again, it's not like you're doing this every night. And eventually, soon, hopefully, at the 4 week mark, if you start sleep training, slowly but surely your baby's going to be doing longer stretches and your body's going to be going longer in the night anyways. So it's okay occasionally to skip a nursing session or to skip a pump if you have extra milk stored in the fridge or whatever, so that you can get some extra sleep. Now, one of the most important things that we do when we are taking shifts is text each other updates. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm like so obsessed with all the little things that my baby does, and I want to make sure that they're getting enough feeds and that they're sleeping the right amount and all these things. But it's so important and it's so helpful for me to wake up and know exactly when my baby ate, how much they ate, and what time they fell back asleep, if they pooped, if they burped, if they spit up. All of these things are so helpful for me because then I know if I need to wake my baby up or if I can sleep another 20 minutes or whatever. So for example, if my husband is doing the 10 p.m. feed, but I wake up to a text at 1 a.m. that says, hey, she was super tired. I couldn't wake her up until 11. So she actually ate at 11. She drank the full 4 ounces. She had 2 really good burps and she pooped. She was back in bed by 12 o'clock and she fell asleep super easily. When I read that text, I'm like, okay, well, since she ate at 11, now she can go till at least 2. So I'm going to go back to bed for an hour because I know she got a full feed and I know it was only 2 hours ago. I also know she pooped. So if she doesn't poop when I wake up with her, that's fine. She's not constipated because she pooped earlier. She got her burps out. So if she's squirmy right now, it's probably from lower gas pain and not because she has a burp, because I know she got her burps out. Just all of this information helps me know what to do for the next feed. Do I sound like a crazy person? I'm just sitting here thinking that if you are a type A person like me, all of this information for you is going to be like, yes, this is what I need. This is super helpful. This is all the information that my husband and I need to exchange in the middle of the night with our texts. But if you are more like a type B, laid back, unfazed by anything, and you just go with the flow, then you might think I'm a crazy person right now, and that's okay. If you are a go with the flow, person, then you don't have to do any of this. If you do not care or do not think about any of this, don't add it to your plate. Don't be like me, is what I'm trying to say. But if you are type A and you like to know these things so that you know what to do during the next feed, then all of this information is so, so helpful and it'll make such a difference for you. Also, you're probably thinking to yourself, well, why wouldn't you just, like, why would you wake up at 1 and read a text and then go back to sleep for an hour? Wouldn't you just wake up when your baby wakes up? Eventually, yes. But I've said this before and I'll say it again. During the first 4 weeks, you have to wake your baby up every 3 to 4 hours around the clock because it's super easy for them to get dehydrated and it's very important that you don't let that happen. So we set alarms throughout the night during the first 4 months. Sorry, not first 4 months, first 4 weeks. We set alarms during the night for the first 4 weeks to make sure that our baby never goes more than 4 hours. If we have a baby that naturally goes every 4 hours, my first baby and my third baby were like that, then I set my alarm for every 4 hours. But my second and my fourth needed to eat every 3 hours on the dot. So I set my alarm for every 3 hours. So again, that is why I would wake up at 1 a.m. And if I saw a text that was like, hey, she actually didn't eat till 11, I'm like, awesome, I'm going back to bed for another hour. That's why that information is super helpful, because you want to make sure that they're not going too long, but you also want to make sure you're getting sleep when you can. And if your baby ate later, then get extra sleep. It's also helpful if the opposite happened. If I see a text from my husband that's like, hey, she was super hungry and she actually ate at 9:15 instead of 10. And I see that text and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, well, it's been 4 hours. I definitely have to wake her up right now and get her fed. Okay, I know this was a lot of information. So just to do a quick recap, ways that dads can help. Number one, help with the other kids. Number two, help with the things that need to be done around the house. Number three, take care of mom. Make sure she's eating, drinking, sleeping when she can, all of those things. And make sure she's taking it easy. Healing after birth is no joke. So make sure that she's not up running around doing all the heavy lifting and all that stuff, because her body needs to heal. And number four, take shifts as often as you can. Now, I understand that there are situations, like if your husband works the night shift, or if he is a surgeon working on people's brains or has a very dangerous job, then obviously it's probably not safe for him to be up frequently in the night. I still think he could take a shift on the weekend if he's not working on the weekend. But if your husband is capable, if he is able to be up in the night, then let him take shifts, let him help you so that you can both get some sleep in those early weeks. Like I said, parenting takes teamwork. So let him help. If he is willing, let him help. If he is not willing, but you think he's capable, then send him my way. I would love to talk to him. Because I believe that, again, parenting takes teamwork and you shouldn't have to do it alone. So, and if you don't have a partner, if you are doing this on your own, you are incredible, and find a support system that can help. If I had a single mom friend, I would be more than willing to go over and take a night shift for her on the weekend, or more than willing to pick up her groceries for her, or to take her toddler, or do anything like that. So if you are doing this alone, if you are a single mom and you're like, well, I don't have a partner, first of all, you're amazing. Second of all, find a support system and don't be afraid to ask for help, because people are willing to help, I promise. Okay, that is it for today. Thank you so much for being here. If you could do me a huge favor, rate the podcast, leave a review. It would mean so much to me. Again, thank you for being here and I will see you next week.
If you want to learn more about the resources I have to offer, head to thesleepfairyway.com or follow me on Instagram @the_sleepfairy. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.